Yeah, that's an event that's well worth attending. It just makes sense that as a church family, we should gather once a year and talk about where we're going and to try to do that in a way that's fun and meaningful. So we asked the elders to put it on. Again, there's other levels of significance. We just want to get you to get to know our elders a bit too. So we kind of hear that this church is governed by elders, and it just gets you a chance to get to know them a little bit and see both their serious side and their fun side. And we have a really, really good group of elders that I'm very proud of and very confident in. And so I want you to get to know them a little bit. Well, we're working through a series called The Five Passions of Jesus. And this morning, we'd like to take a look at the fifth and last of our passions. By placing it number five, we don't think it's least significant. They're not put in that kind of order, but it just happens to fall on our fifth Sunday. And it's the one that we know and refer to as calling, the fact that we have callings. And it's a dominant theme across the whole of the Bible, this thought of callings or being called of God. So I looked it up, and the word call or called or calling, there's almost 800 references to it through the Bible. So I thought, wouldn't it be a lot of fun if we could just make our way through all of those references this morning and all 800 of them? And no, we won't do that. That wouldn't be very fun at all, and your turkey would be blackened. But I thought we may just take a look at a few of them. So Abraham is the father of the nation of Israel and is also the father of all who believe. And if you get a chance later on to take a look in your Bible to the book of Genesis in chapter 12, almost regardless of what translation you use, there'll be a subtitle above Genesis 12, and it's going to say the call of Abram, who was later then called Abraham. It's the time when he was called of God to take his place and to be the father of that nation. Later on, Isaiah chapter 51, God himself says, when I called Abram, he was but one. So he looks back upon that time as the time where God called him. Moses. Moses was the man who led God's people out of slavery in Egypt. And in the book of Exodus says God called to him from within a burning bush. So God has dressed him. God spoke to him. God claimed him as his own. God called him. So in that word, there's lots of overtones. And it's that moment that changed the entire course of his life, the moment at which God called to him. Samuel, in the Old Testament, one of the greatest prophets ever to walk the face of the earth. You might remember how it all started with Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Bible says Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. There's the word again. He called Samuel, and Samuel said, "Here I am." So you'll remember that he ran to Eli, the high priest, and said, "Eli, did you call me?" He said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." You'll remember it happened a second time. He heard his voice, his name being called again. He ran to Eli, "Did you call my name?" "I didn't call your name." Three times his name was called, at which point Eli begins to understand something of a higher level is taking place. This is God initiating something toward this boy. God is calling him. God is speaking to him. And if you haven't had that experience yet in your life, then maybe today would mark the beginning of such an experience. The 12 apostles, the great 12 who walked most closely with Jesus. The Bible says Jesus called to him those he wanted. He called them unto himself, and he designated them apostles. So again, they're walking with him, they're in knowledge of him, but there becomes a distinctive point in time where he calls them. He calls them to himself. Paul the apostle, many of his epistles, I find it really interesting that before he does any of his teaching, before he says almost anything to the church, one of the things that he wants them to know is who he is. And so he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called, there's the word again, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel, called. He had a calling, and he wanted people to know that. But he also wanted people to know that this thought of calling, the call of God, wasn't just for great prophets. It just wasn't for the kings and leaders of nations. It just wasn't for the 12 apostles. But everyone who comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ has a calling. So the apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. He's speaking to all the Christians in that church. Live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Which brings us to a couple questions. And I'm summarizing this morning because, as you know, during this series, I speak about for the first half. And for the second half, we go on and explain some of the ways in which we intend to walk this out as a church. But in an abbreviated form, here's a couple questions. Number one, what are you called to? What is your calling? And there won't just be one answer to that. There'll be several. And maybe a little later on we could come and look at some potential answers, but I just want you to reflect on it first. Number one, what is your calling? If every believer, the New Testament makes it clear, has a calling, then what is your calling? Okay, question number two. Do you live daily with a strong sense of calling? Because some people can go, yeah, I have a calling, but who cares? It doesn't affect my daily life. But that's far from the New Testament picture. Do you live daily with a strong sense of calling? Does it kind of affect the way you go about your day? Does it affect the way you wake up in the morning? Does it affect the way you think about the future? What would it be, what would it look like to live with a strong sense of calling? Is it necessary? Of course, I believe it's very necessary to the kind of Christian life you're going to live and the quality of Christian experience you will enjoy. Living life with a daily sense of calling. And then lastly, question number three, how does your calling unfold? What are the processes that God uses? How do you move further into that calling? Some of the things that God has promised you, and so they're within your calling. How do you move more into the realization of your calling? What practical steps can someone take to recognize that they're called of God and that the things they can do on the journey toward the fulfillment of their calling? Does it all happen in an instance? Is there effort involved on our parts? And I'm going to leave you with those three questions. Now I want to talk about something that I call the gap in our calling. And I think the best way to explain it would be this. Acts chapter 9, there's a very famous story of the apostle Paul, how he come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul's conversion. So he's riding on the road to Damascus one day when Jesus himself appears to him. His eyes are blinded. He falls to the ground and lays there, and he has this incredible experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus speaks to a man called Ananias and sends him there to help him and with a message for him. And the message is this. He tells him, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and before their kings. So right from that first moment, something of his calling is revealed to him in Acts chapter 9. But then there's a gap from Acts chapter 9 to Acts 13. Acts 9, his calling is revealed. But there's something about Acts 13, several chapters later, years later in the Apostle Paul's life, where he comes into the fulfillment of that calling. And in Acts chapter 9, he's part of a church. And it says this, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, Paul, for the work to which I've called him. Set apart for me for the work to which I've called him. So he was called to do something in Acts chapter 9, but he is not released to do it until Acts 13. And there is probably 14 years between those two points. And he was far from idle in those 14 years. So it causes us to think, okay, what kind of Acts 9 experiences have you had where you know there was some kind of interaction with God? And in some way there was some kind of call that came from God to your life. And maybe because of the gap, you've thought, oh well, maybe it's never going to happen. Maybe you forgot about it. Maybe you've just suffered under disappointment because of the way. But Paul, there was a gap of 14 years. He was anything but idle. He was preparing for that day. And so when Acts 13 comes, he was ready for the release in his calling. So is there something we can do? There's a whole lot we can do to turn our face in the direction of what God has for us. And to prepare daily for that. You'll remember how that in week number one of this series, we looked at a young man whose name was Elisha. God spoke to an older man whose name was Elijah, and he said, I'm going to send you to a young man called Elisha. He's going to be your successor after you. So Elijah went out in search of the young man, found him, took his coat off, and come up alongside him when he was plowing in the field, and threw his coat on his shoulders, which was rich in symbolism. It meant that one day the calling that was on the older man would come on the younger man. So notice, though, that the cloak touched him, but he was not allowed to keep it. He was just allowed to touch it. It was a revelation of his calling. His calling was revealed, but it was not released. So that from that point on, he goes through a time of training and preparation that involved mentorship and discipleship and serving. And when he comes out the other end, as his mentor is being taken to heaven in a chariot of fire, it's not a coincidence that the same mantle that he had touched years ago falls from the old man, and it falls right at the young man's feet. It's interesting what he does. He takes it and he rolls it up. And you know what the first thing he does is? He goes to the river and he takes that rolled up cloak and he smites the river. And there's a reason for that. Because once upon a time, he saw his mentor do that. And when his mentor smote the water, the Bible says the entire river parted in two. In other words, this was just not some old coat. It was a representative of the call and the anointing and the power of God on his life. And when he smote things with that coat, stuff happened. So Elijah wanted to know, did I get the calling or did I just get the coat? So he rolls it up and he tests it. And I've done this numbers of times in my life. I've tested things on me, tested parts of my calling. See, does God's stuff happen or does it just make a splash? So he rolled up the coat and he smote the waters and they parted. And all the crowd that were watching said this, the Lord is now with Elisha as he was with Elijah. He has the same calling and the same power of God upon him now. But there's a gap between the time he was touched it and there's a gap between the time he was allowed to carry that thing. When we left the UK in 1996, my wife and I just said, we'll be back. We somehow feel that this chapter of life is not finished. We'll be back. But when I got back to Canada, and we were busy in life and ministry here, one day I asked the Lord, Lord, is it true? Will we really be back in the UK one day? Because if it's just a romantic notion, you know, if it just comes out of our affectionate past with the country, but it's not really you saying this, I don't want this to be in my head, because one day it could interfere with my sense of direction. I could keep wondering, when's this going to happen? And find out God hadn't even told me that. So I was invited to go back to the UK to preach at the British Youth for Christ conference. And so I thought, I'm going to go and test this idea. Am I really going back one day or are we not? So even on the plane, I was saying, Lord, either confirm or deny this. Are we going to move back to the UK one day or not? I don't mind either way because I'm yours. I'll go wherever you want me to do, but I just want to know the truth. Interesting. We were there. I was only there for a week, but within 1 hour of arriving, I met someone in London. Without even telling them, this is what I'm asking God, they start prophesying over me on the street corner about one day moving back. And then it went like that for an entire week. And I was in one service where the power of God was coming down so incredibly. I mean, the things that were happening in that service. And I said, Lord, what is up? This is unlike, greater than anything I've ever seen in terms of you moving with power. And this is what he said. He said, the authority that I have over this country, I'm letting you touch it. You can't hold it. You can't keep it. But I am letting you touch it just simply so that you will know that not only will you be coming back to this country in the future, but that your best days are yet to come. And so we have these experiences in life where God just lets you touch something. And if you don't understand the ways of God, you can be disappointed why it didn't stay with you. It wasn't meant to stay with you. You are not ready for it. You were meant to agree with it, to believe that you'll see a greater fulfillment of it in the future, and to set your face like flint, that one day you would see more of that in your life. And so definitely, when we moved back to Scotland years later, it's like what I touched during that week rested on me daily during the time we were in Scotland. Never had to strive. I never had to work for it. It rested on me. Remember Moses? How did Moses' call come? Well, one day he's out shepherding and he looks over at a bush. It is alight with fire. He goes over to see this strange sight, and out from the midst of fire, God speaks. Now, why did it happen that way? Because his ultimate calling was to lead an entire nation to the foot of a mountain that burned with fire. And God rested on this mountain in a way he rested on this small bush. And when God, from this mountain, he spoke so strongly that the entire mountain trembled under the weight of his voice. So he had a little experience of fire and God speaking in fire in preparation for, at a national level, God speaking to an entire nation that burned with fire. So you have to look out, because sometimes you have foretastes. You have these experiences in life that you don't really understand. They just seem like a little burning bush. But in that bush, you can see beyond it that something else is greater, of much greater proportions, is coming your way. But there's a gap. There's a gap in the two for Paul. There was a gap for Elijah. There was a gap for Moses. And one of my outstanding questions to your heart and to mind is, what are you doing with your gap? How's your gap going? Because in the gap, you can get skeptical. In the gap, you can grow impatient. And I know that I want to speak a word to a whole body today, but I absolutely know there's four or five individuals that the Lord has got you in their sights. And he's speaking to your heart today. You can get impatient in a gap, which is why the book of Hebrews says it's faith and patience by which we inherit the promises. There is a marriage between faith and patience. So any one of those guys could have given up and said, this is never going to happen. This is taking far too long. Remember Elijah? He's being prepared to be the next national prophet, but for a number of years, he just traveled with the older man and acted as his assistant. At any moment, he could have said, I'm tired of doing this. Nobody sees the significance in me here. I'm packing it up and going home. And he would have been this close to losing the privilege that God was holding out for him. How are you using your gap? During your gap, you can get immensely preoccupied with other things. You can get distracted by other things. You can turn your face in lots of different directions. You can get idle and think, well, I don't really have to do anything. If God said it, it'll just happen. Yes, but it could happen 60 years later instead of 10. I don't see a single promise in the entire Bible where God rewards idleness or forgetfulness or lack of diligence. Not one. How are you using your gap and your calling? Because calling is more than what we do. It's fundamental to who we are. So let's just briefly look at that. What are you called to? We don't have time to answer that question or to do it justice. But briefly, here's three little windows, three key words. Number one, it has something to do with belonging. Romans chapter 1 verse 6 says that we are called to belong to Jesus Christ. So that's what your calling is. Your first level of calling is you are called to belong to the person of Jesus Christ. So sometimes we only think about calling in terms of what we're meant to do and where we're meant to do it geographically. That's not first level calling. Your first level to your calling is who you're called to belong to. You're called to belong to Him. That's who you're called to. He called you for Himself. He didn't just call you so that He could get you doing a bunch of things. You matter to Him. You are the called of God. So what does it look like to live like that? Would my neighbors, if they looked at me, say, obviously that man belongs to God? Would the people who live with me daily, would my family say, he lives like a man who belongs to God? Belonging. Maybe you're here today and you're not yet at that place, but it's still your destiny. If God is speaking to you, if God is reaching out to you, then it's your destiny to one day fully and completely belong to Him. Number two. The key word is becoming. Belonging, becoming. Just a couple quick verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, God has called you into fellowship with his son. So we've launched a major initiatives in the area of prayer. Guess what? You're called to participate in those initiatives. You are called to live a life of prayer. We are called to fellowship with his son. That's part of my calling. So people says, what's your calling, Todd? No, my first answer better not be to preach, because that would be altogether wrong. I'm called to belong to Jesus, and I'm called to fellowship with him. That's my calling. And if I preach ever, guess what? It's just coming out of those things. Calling to fellowship with Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says, God has called us to live in peace. Galatians chapter 5 says, we are called to be free. And I could go on and on with those verses. And one of the things you'll notice is not one of them talks about what you're meant to do and where you're meant to do it. We tend to think in geographical terms. God's calling me to go here, or God's calling me to go there. And that could very well be true, but it actually comes out of these first two things. It's not just what you're going to do and where you're going to do it, but all those verses are about the kind of people you are. The kind of man you're becoming, the kind of woman you're becoming, all those verses pertain to that. And so if you're not sure where am I supposed to go or what am I supposed to do, don't think for a moment that sometime you don't have a super strong call. Because every single day, the kind of man you're becoming, that is your call. The Holy Spirit who lives within you is completely committed to that end and will use every tool and circumstance at his disposal to advance that calling in your life, who you're becoming. So sometimes, again, how easy it is to think, well, the most important thing is what I'm doing. That's not true. That's categorically untrue. The first one is the kind of man you're becoming. What kind of work is God doing in your heart? What kind of stuff is God doing in your life? And once you see life like that, then you don't have to wait to go to Africa, which we do a lot of, before all of a sudden you investigate your calling. You are called right where you're at, and what you're doing every day is rich with calling, and most of us miss about 95% of it because it doesn't seem grandiose enough. Because it's right there under our nose, which is particularly true, I'm finding, of us as Canadians. Sometimes the most spiritual things are right under our nose. They're right there. Sometimes the greatest area of Holy Spirit activity is right under our nose, but it's so close to us that it doesn't seem grand enough. There's not lights, camera, and action on it. So do you know what I found? If I was to put something up on a video here of a ministry that was happening in another Canadian city or another part of the world and put it up here, we would be in tears and moved. I can put the exact one up, but if it's happening in Lethbridge amongst people you know and people I know, we would not be nearly as moved as if we didn't know the people and we didn't know the place. And there is a travesty in that. If one of my friends, if Nathan Newnor has a moving out in a ministry, moving out in a calling, I am way happier with that than someone on the other side of the world that I don't even know, because I'm part of that. If something happens to a child on the outside of the world, wonderful, they get a grade A in school. But when it happens to your own child, you're thrilled because you've been participating in that. You've been encouraging them every day. When something happens to your own friend, Jody Bend, if we were to hear about someone doing a bus ministry on the other side of the world, we'd think, that's fantastic, bringing in all these kids into church. But because it happens in our church, guys, we know, we don't think it's so significant. In my opinion, Jody Banda is a champion. And all of those people that work with him, so you have to train your heart to say, this is more special. I know this person. I know these kids. These are kids from our streets. And you have to train and discipline your heart to never take that lightly. There's a reason why God put people in our life. And it's certainly not, taking them for granted is not the reason. So calling is happening all around us. Every day, all around us, you're being moved toward your calling by people God has put into your life. Ron, God put you in my life. So this relationship is more significant to me than someone I never met, and someone that was some big name. Because there's God's in it, and vice versa, I hope. hope God's put me in your life. And on and on. Because we advance and serve one another's callings. And we're not just waiting for the big moment. Every day is the big moment. If you just have eyes to see it. And then number three, so belonging is a key word. Becoming is a key word. I couldn't find a really good B word for number three, but that God has given you a unique business in the world. That's the closest I could come. A unique role, a unique contribution to make to the world in which you live. But guess what? Number three only comes out if you're doing the first two well. So when Paul says, I'm called to be an apostle, he absolutely knew that about himself. He loved that. He began his epistle stating it clearly. Do you live with that clear a sense of calling? Do you stick with that calling and invest yourself into that calling? I'd like to just close before I hand it over to Bruce, just saying a little bit about how it happened for me. We did not grow up as Christians or ever going to a church. But when I was about the age of 13, my parents began bringing me along to church, and it was this congregation. So this is my spiritual roots, my spiritual home. And we had a connection with a summer camp in Waterton called Canyon Church Camp. And so I went 2 or 3 years as a young guy, and then 1 year I went, and I was there for the summer as a helper. And so not only did we have summer camps, like, for kids, but on one of those weeks, our church used the camp, and so it was all people I knew. Lots of you were there, and I was a young 15-year-old. And so because I was helping in the kitchen, and that particular week, the camp cook was an old army cook. It actually wasn't that old, but I kind of took a liking to this guy. He was a bit rough around the edges. He wasn't a Christian, but there was something kind of affable about him. So I was hanging out with him as a young 15-year-old and offering what could I do to help, and kind of liked this guy. But one day we were in the kitchen, me, him, and two other helpers, and the other three in the room were mocking the Christians on the other side of the wall. One of whom was my mom, which wasn't going to put me in the best spirits. And they were mocking numbers of you that were there. And they were saying hallelujah. And they were just engaging in all kinds of mockery. And at that point, I'm 15. It was not in my nature at all to say something. That would be extremely scary for me. But eventually, I just felt like I have to say something. And I can't remember exactly what I said. But I think I just stopped stirring my soup and said, that's enough. You shouldn't talk that way. I know those people, and they're very sincere people. And because I was such a shy person, when I finally spoke up, the whole room went quiet because they couldn't believe this had come out my mouth. And then I'm so embarrassed now because they're looking at me, and I don't really know how to manage this. So I literally ran out the room, being the brave soul that I was. I ran out the back because I just didn't know what to say next. And you know, the back door there, the kitchen, if you've ever been to Canyon Church Camp, it's got two little steps. And then there's kind of a dirt road behind and trees. And I just leapt off those two steps. And the moment my foot hit that ground, I had something happen between me and God. I don't even know if I was a Christian yet. And I have no idea why it was tied to this little drama beforehand. But the moment my foot hit that ground, I heard God. And I look up, because at that point, you don't really know where God is. So you tend to look up. And I said, you want me to do what? And he didn't speak to me with words. He just showed me, for the whole of your life, I want you to give it to me, and I want you to serve me with the whole of your life. And so I didn't have a vocabulary for that. I said, what? You want me to be a minister? And I was just 15. I went, okay. And off I went. Now, that was it. But it was so real to me. And so from that moment, that experience where God called me became a filter through which I made all my decisions in life. What do I mean by that? Anything that came in life, up in life that looked like it was going to take me away from that, I said no to. And anything in life that occurred that looked like it would advance that and put me further in the way of that, I said yes to. Because from that point on, my life did not belong to myself. It belonged to me. Now, guess what? The same is true of you. That just was the moment in which it became real for me. But I lived with a sense of purpose from that time on. I don't know what your moment looks like, or if you've had one, or if it happened in a completely altogether way, or if you're still waiting for one. But that's what it looks like to live daily with a strong sense that God has called you to belong to Him, to become more like Jesus, and that you'd make it your business to advance His will on earth. Bruce, can I get you to come? He's going to come and talk to you a little bit about what this couple of the ways this will look like in our church.
Thanks, Pastor Todd. Todd is right when he says that a lot of the development of our callings and individual destiny is actually just in the what's right in front of you to do, though you don't really realize at the time until you look back. And so actually for me, I've come to realize that one of my primary callings in terms of what I'm called to do is actually help other people find their callings. And it becomes no surprise to me to think that in the years prior to me moving more towards ministry, that I'd worked in 10 years actually in the field of education. I taught at the secondary and post-secondary levels and worked for the Ministry of Education. And at the time, as much as I enjoyed teaching the students the course material, I actually enjoyed just getting to know them and finding out about their interests and their desires and help guiding them in their future and their job career-wise and whatever their future held. At that time, actually, I did a graduate degree in curriculum and instruction, trying to deepen my understanding of how students learn and how you could develop programs and resources and strategies that would ultimately serve the development of their callings and prepare them towards it. And I even worked with teachers, training teachers, and teaching them how to be better leaders and better teachers and helping them fulfill their calling. And so looking back, I'm like, wow, that calling was all in there and didn't kind of even really realize it. And I share some of that just to let you know a little bit about how much that idea of calling and helping people get their callings is really inside me. And it's just kind of exciting now to be here in church and get to use some of that past experience. So a couple areas that I'm working in the church that kind of dip a little bit into that. One is with the junior youth discipleship program on Sunday mornings. And we have a little bit of a varied program. So they'll go through like 1 week on Bible training foundations, and another week like experiencing God through prayer and worship, and then another week like leadership training through serving in different areas in the church. And then another week, they'll learn about different options to get just kind of personalized training, like maybe in dance and drama or fine arts or music and that kind of stuff. And so it's really exciting if you have a child in the junior youth age. They're in for an exciting ride, not to mention what's happening on the Friday nights. But the other area that has to do with calling that dips a lot more into my background is the River of Life internship program, which I'd like to briefly talk to you about now. And if afterwards you find yourself thinking that this program might seriously be a next step for you, come find me. I'd love to chat with you about your calling and what's in your heart to do. But earlier, not too long ago this year, we asked the question, how can we take our mandate as a church to develop people's callings and to train people in their leadership skills and make them incredible leaders and take that to a whole other level? And our answer was actually to provide them with the opportunity of a unique style of internship, a program that would give them, just like Elisha, a rich and balanced experience of practical ministry, mentorship and support, and training. We believe that through being strongly mentored and supported while doing ministry, doing leadership training and development, receiving both practical and theological teaching, along with a deeper understanding of church life and its function, and a continual emphasis on prayer and a strong inner life, the intern would grow significantly in their understanding of their calling, their leadership skills, and the quality of their walk with God, which are really all interconnected anyway. We believe this program would be a significant step in preparation for their future, either as a lay leader or even in vocational ministry. Now, this program requires focusing considerable resources and expertise into only a few individuals, including a significant amount of time that the staff specifically will pour into them, and thus it obviously has a cost associated with it. And so this year we have 6 interns who are sacrificing both their time and money to pursue their calling, develop their gifts, and expand their leadership skills, all the while pouring into you, the church. And I know many of you have given generously to these interns to help make this experience possible for them. And so as the director of the internship program, I'd like to introduce them via video as the RL interns of 2010 and 2011. So before you watch the video, just a little note about the audio. The first part of it, some of the interns are hard to hear a little bit, so just try to lean in as much as you can. I apologize for that, but it gets better in the second half. So our ROL interns of 2010 and 2011.
I joined this internship is because I want to find my calling and see what God wants to do with my life.
God put it on my heart to ask a question. I've always felt called to missions, but I always kind of assumed it would be overseas to the third world or something like that. But yeah, by simply just asking this question, I started out on a journey, and I'm not 100% sure where I'm going to end up, but I know that this season of my life is for training and for the development of my calling, and there's no place that I would rather do that than here at home with my church family and with my spiritual fathers. What would full-time missions look like in Canada? What does it look like to take missions seriously here at home?
I'm from the UK, and I'm doing this internship for reasons as yet unknown. I think probably my answer to that question would be ask me in 8 months. Over the summer, the Lord did a pretty significant intervention of my life and my life direction, and he brought me here to Lethbridge, to this wonderful city that smells really badly of potato chips today, which I'm eternally grateful for. I guess I'm here just to figure out where I'm going next, what my calling looks like, and the things that the Lord has for me here. So I'm excited to be part of this church community for this season. At River of Life is several reasons. One, just to pursue my calling, figure out where the Lord wants me in my life. Another reason is I'm going to be just trying to figure out what art looks like in the church. And the other reason is simply just to be mentored by the leaders of our church who have already come to me so much to me.
Like way too good of an opportunity to testify with the teaching, the mentorship, and the practical experience. And I think by learning more about myself and more about God, I'll know more where I should be going.
I wanted to tell you that I'm here because Stephen Barber told me to. He said it was a good idea, or because I just wanted more church keys. But the reality is that this is a really great opportunity, and that the Lord has made this city and this church home to me over the last 5 years. Coming out of a season of just resting and coming into a season of fulfilling vision and of God beginning to speak more about what He's calling me to do and who He's called me to be, this internship just seemed like such a perfect way to do that. So that's why I'm here.
I'm working on few areas. Mostly the theme is getting people connected into the church. So that's through community groups, through membership, and through the welcome desk, and creating people.
I'm going to be working along with Pastor Bruce and intern Amy Williams. I'm going to be working on the House of Prayer, participating in that, and then giving support and direction to it. I'll be working on local mission stuff, particularly with our growing immigrant population and how we can practically support them and meet their needs.
As part of my internship, when Bruce asked me what I wanted to work on, I said I'll do anything as long as I don't have to do youth work or children's work. So he has conveniently and lovingly assigned me to the junior youth where I'll be working to develop curriculum and teaching around experiencing God. And I was only joking when I said I didn't want to work with youth, so I'm super excited about that. And then along with awesome intern Mr. Amos Martell and Pastor Bruce, I'm going to be working on developing the House of Prayer within River of Life. 24/7 prayer, movement, group prayer, community prayer, and just exploring what that looks like. And seeing how the Lord wants to grow that vision within River of Life.
Okay, I'll be working with the Friday night junior youth and helping Troy out, learning how to mentor them and make them disciples of Christ. As well as Sunday, I will be helping out with Marcus and the junior youth at 1:30 service. I'll also be going on with the bus route and hanging out with the kids as we pick them up to come to church. And then we got our KO drama team that I'll be working with, hoping to teach them some new stuff, some skills, whatever they want to learn.
For my internship, I'm doing a series of 5 very large paintings for the church on the 5 passions of Jesus. I'm also helping Rachel with the Rooted Club on campus. I'm the events coordinator leader. I will be teaching some junior youth classes on art and kind of art in the church.
For this internship, it seems obvious maybe if you've seen me on Sundays, but I'm working the area of worship with Ryan and Rob Steele for some things to do with worship on Sunday mornings, which you will definitely be part of. I'm working also with Rachel Harder to develop Rooted Worship on campus, which I'm excited about and totally terrified of, but that's kind of the big part that's really tapping into what my future calling is going to be. And then I'm doing a little bit with junior youth as well in the area of worship.
Most definitely when Aaron took Todd's seat in the first staff meeting.
Well, you know, I wasn't even there personally, but I still think the best part was when Aaron sat in Todd's chair.
At the first staff meeting when Aaron took Todd's seat.
For sure was when Aaron took Todd's seat at the first staff meeting we went to.
And then I looked across the table and there was Aaron sat in Todd Atkinson's chair. The look on Todd's face. Oh boy.
Favorite part. I have to say my favorite part so far has been the time that Aaron sat in Todd's seat.
It's been really good. I'd say the best would have to be probably Aaron taking Todd's seat in staff meeting. That was really good.
I would say the best thing is kind of just the humility that interns have, not really needing big positions. For example, Aaron Poffin. He's just a man full of humility. And what Aaron did is he decided to take Todd's seat at our staff meeting. We warned him that's where Todd sits. And so Aaron said, okay, well, that sounds like where I should sit. And so that's where Aaron went. And, you know, that's really what we're looking for in an intern is take the bull by the horns or the Todd by the chair.
It's a good moment.
It was great. It was, definitely.
Where's Aaron?
Yeah. Aaron? Have you guys seen Aaron?
Where's Aaron?
Aaron!
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 Oh, man, what has he done?
I didn't realize how great Thou Art was written about Todd, but I don't know how I feel theologically about that. It's a little sketchy. But funny enough, Aaron actually didn't stage that. We left the camera on Sunday and he came in and was practicing and I came in late and he was up there just doing the guns and pulling his pants up. It was really awkward. But I need to practice if I'm up here. So. But for those of you who don't know me, my name is Stephen. I've been here for 3 years and working here for almost 2 years. The topic of calling is one that's really, really exciting to me. I've always loved just helping people find their dreams and their callings. When I was 20 years old, I was hanging out with a bunch of young skateboarders and saw them wanting to pursue a career in skateboarding. And my heart just really wanted to serve them. And I started a company that gave them skateboards and clothing and exposure. And it's just been my life where I've always loved serving people and serving their dreams. So coming to a church where that's the passion, where at ROL we believe all of you guys are called, and we believe all of you have great visions and dreams that God wants to give to you. And so we just really want to serve that. And it's really great to come here and be a part of a body that's like that, whether it's, you know, buying a business or moving and doing a church plant. It really excites me. Doing an internship, it's just really, really great. And so when Todd talked to me about leading something called ROL Train, which I'm going to talk to you about, it was really an honor for me to do it, and it really, really is something that my heart loves to do. So ROL Train, what I'm going to talk to you, is a once a month training night that we're partnering with community groups in doing. And we just really believe that the Lord has called us to raise up world-class leaders. And it's really, the Lord has called our church to just train and equip you guys for your ministry and your jobs and just growing in your discipleship with Christ. So it's once a month. It'll start in November and go through to May. It starts at 5:30 with a supper, kind of like family night did. So we're going to have soup and a bun, and it's $10 a family or $5 for a person. And we just really want to have that time to come and do community together and have fellowship together and just be flexible around people's busy schedules so you can work and you don't have to worry about running home and cooking. You can just come here and eat with us and then go on to teaching. So after that, we have two streams of classes that are both an hour long. So the first one starts at 6:30 and runs through to 7:30, and the other one starts at 7:45 and goes to 8:45. So you have the option to attend one of the classes or even both, and a few of the classes will actually be the both sessions for the longer ones. So we're doing this just to kind of, again, give room for your busy lives and be flexible. So if you look in your bulletin, you have a little handout. That has half of the classes. We didn't have time to get all the class write-ups in. We're still kind of working out a few of the kinks and kind of working out a few more classes. But this will give you a bit of an idea of what they're on. So we have a real variety of classes. So we want to cover everything from basics of the faith for people who just are new to Christ or don't know much about the Bible. You can come and learn about that. And then we also want to have really practical things, like Pastor Bruce is teaching on prayer and the different types of prayer and how to pray. And that'll be really good. Brenda, do you want to put that slide up? As of right now, here's the list of classes that we have. So as you can see, there's a wide variety, and from deep theological things with Pastor Bill and Todd to just basics of the faith and practical things like mission and business. So we are working on a few more classes. I'm a little slow on that. So just check back on the website, and next week we'll have all the classes updated. So the main thing is, how can you be involved? The big one, obviously, is attend. We want to take your discipleship and your growth seriously. And so to be a leader and to move forward in your growth, it takes sacrifice and it takes discipline. And so to attend is to sow into your calling and to sow into your own training. And so that would be the first one. It's once a month for an hour. They're not crazy long lecture type classes. They'll have mentoring aspects, Q&A. It's not going to come and just sit and take notes the whole time. It's going to be really interactive. And we've chosen teachers that have real mentorship giftings I promise you, it won't just be boring lecture. It'll be really well-rounded. I really want to highlight the people that are teaching. To attend is to also sow into their calling, because these are people that really feel they're called to teach and they want to grow in that gifting, and so we wanted to give them space to teach. So to come is to sow into the calling of our church, to sow into your own calling, and to sow into the calling of the people in your community. So other ways you can help out is, we need people to help cook soup. So we want to have some volunteers. So you can sign up and volunteer to cook soup once a month, or you can do it a little more regularly. Just a really light soup and bun meal. It's not too hard. And we need childcare. So we want to offer childcare so full families can come. We don't want to have this limited to people without kids. So if there's any adults who want to oversee childcare and some of the junior youth helping out, that would be great. Yeah, but signing up is really the big thing. It's going to be really great. Our Well Trained last year was just focused on discipleship, and it was really, really valuable. So this year we're trying to spread it out and do a little bit more coverage. So I'll be in the back by the welcome desk for the next 2 or 3 weeks. If you want any more information or you want to sign up, come talk to me, or you can check the website for more details. Pastor Todd?
Thanks, Bruce. Thanks, Stephen. Yeah, we want to make sure that for everybody here, there's something on that could help advance your discipleship and calling. And yet every one of those efforts is a little bit like shaking someone's hand. You ever reached out your hand to shake someone's hand and they don't reach out theirs? And there's that kind of awkward moment, because it actually takes two people to shake hands. And so we're honestly just doing the best we know how. Given your lives and busy schedules, only once a month, to be able to provide things for you, for your discipleship. But unless you kind of stick out your hand and say, great, thanks for your thoughtfulness, thanks for thinking of us with this in mind, I'll come to that, I'll sign up to one of those, then the whole thing kind of breaks down. But what we want to do is to do discipleship and training so well in our church that if someone is not being discipled, guess what? It's because they're not saying yes to it. Not because we're not offering it. And so we hope it's going to be really good. Family night was such an educational thing. They just did it so well this last year. And I felt like it had lessons for all of us. So they would offer a dinner, just a nice, light, easy supper. And the reason being is because once you get home from a day at work and you cook dinner, well, one of you cooks dinner, and the other one finishes it off, and you got to clean up, then you think, do I even want to go out tonight? You know, do I even have enough energy to go out? And so they just took all the obstacles away. Just come here straight from work. There's childcare. There's food. It's not too long. There's a good array of things. And I just said, what you're doing has got import for the whole church. And so that's kind of what we've done. So as he said, look at the website. That's about half the classes that are offered. And maybe some of you that are here just taking classes, maybe the next time we run around, you're the mentor that we could use to help teach that class. Well, why don't you join me in a closing word of prayer? And if I could just invite the prayer teams to come up, and I'm sure probably someone is on music or worship. So, I guess I'm on my own. Okay. Let's just pray and commit this time to the Lord. And maybe as we close in prayer, you'd ask him those three questions. So if you'd bow your head, please. Question number one, what does my calling look like? Why don't you just take a moment and just ask the Lord that? What does my calling look like? And just pray, say, Lord, in this year, help me to see more clearly my callings. Question number two, do I live daily with a strong sense of calling? And what would that look like? And finally, question number three, Lord, what do you expect of me? What responsibility do I have toward the unfolding of my calling? And maybe just before we move on, just ask the Lord, Lord, who's calling here? Can I serve beyond my own? That's part of doing community. Ask him, who's calling here? Could I serve in advance beyond my own? I want to take their calling as seriously as I do my own, because we've been brought together for that purpose. If we don't ask that question, the whole thing becomes about just me. It can become intrinsically egocentric. And we are part of a faith that is the antithesis. It's the opposite of egocentric. So Heavenly Father, thank you for our callings. Thank you, you've called us to belong to you. Our calling was to be your sons and your daughters. Our calling is to become the men and women that you've wanted us to become, and to become more like your blessed Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We give ourselves to these callings. We do not hold back or hold any in reserve. When you called the first disciples, they leapt out of the boat and they swam to shore to the one who had called them. And may we do likewise. To run to the one who has called us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would imprint in us, brand us with a strong sense of calling. That it would be before us every day. And it would be in the small and in the daily. And now may the Lord bless you. And may the Lord keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May he lift up the light of his countenance upon you. And give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.